Tonight, I want us to talk for a few minutes on the beautiful subject, at least for the Christian, the Day of Judgment. And it is a beautiful day for the Christian for many reasons. And we're going to be looking at this from Jesus' perspective, and I want us to be considering some thoughts. We have quite a bit of reading to do tonight, but I do believe that it will be beneficial. There's so many things that we can glean from God's word that will help us to understand this even better. First of all, we want to know or want to say that it's the Day of Judgment is going to be a day that none of us know when that's going to take place. None of us. In Mark chapter 13, in verse number 32, we'll start there. And I want Mark, if you can, get Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 2. And Seth, I want you to get John 12, 48 through verse number 49. Hebrews 6, verse 2. In Mark chapter 13, in verse number 32, we have some words that are spoken by the Lord himself. He says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And so we see that this particular day, we don't know when this day is going to be. The Son of Man, when he was upon the earth, didn't have that information. And so at times you find people who are always trying to predict when the end of the world is going to be, the Day of Judgment. And so they pick certain dates, and those days they come, and guess what? They go. And so we come to find out that they are liars because they're trying to predict something. They're trying to prophesy something that was not given to them. And praise God for his wisdom in that. But I want us to take notice, what type of judgment is this? It's interesting, when I found this verse, I was thinking, it's kind of interesting that we all make judgments all the time. When you're driving your vehicle, you'll make a judgment to step on the gas pedal, the accelerator, or the brake pad. And you're making a judgment based upon what you're seeing. And even the Bible demonstrates to us in John 7, verse 24, to judge righteous judgment. So to make decisions based upon information. But in Hebrews 6 and verse number 2, what type of judgment is this going to be? Go ahead, brother.
"Of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment."
Of eternal judgment. The judgment day is going to be an eternal judgment. An eternal judgment. Okay? So this is not going to be a judgment that is going to be within the realm of time. It's going to be an eternal judgment. Now, what's going to judge us? Seth, in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, what does the Bible there say?
"He that rejecteth me, and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, which I should say, and what I should speak."
All right, so what's going to judge us on the last day? The word of God, okay? So we're not going to judge one another. We're not going to be judged by some synod, some council, some group of people. We're going to be judged by the word of God. That's very important. Why is that important, that we're going to be judged by the word of God?
We know what it is.
We know exactly what it is. You know, what this also tells us, this is an open book test. It's an open book test. There's no reason for us to fail this test. God has given us everything in the test. It's open book. Okay? And so God is teaching us I'm going to judge you by these words. All right. In John chapter 5, verses 26 through 30, we have a pretty graphic scene here. Okay. John chapter 5, 26 through 30. Chad, can you read those verses for us?
For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me.
Appreciate that. Brother Chad did stand up. I guess I need to be reminded of that. So whoever reads from this point forward, let us please stand up and read the Word of God. Please. Appreciate that. All right. There are a few things that's going on here. If you go up to verse 21 of John chapter 5, no, I didn't have him read that on purpose, but we see verse 21 and 22, for as the Father has raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So the Son is the one that's going to be doing the judging. He's going to be using the Word of God as the judgment tool, if I can use it that way. But on that final day, God is going to raise up everyone from the grave. Now, think about this. That's going to be an awesome scene right there. Everyone who has ever lived from the time of Adam until the time in which Jesus Christ comes back is going to be raised from the dead if they have died. If they have not died, then they're going to be changed. That's 1 Corinthians 15. It's another subject. I don't want to talk about that now. But I do want to talk about this. Is anyone going to escape the judgment? No one. Now, when we think about that, what type of thought process should that give us as people? Remember the way that I started it, the judgment day for us as children of God, that's a happy day. It really is a happy day for us. We as the people of God should not look at the judgment day as some scary day. We ought to look at it as a day, I can't wait for this day. But for those who are not living right, those who are not in Christ, have not obeyed the gospel, it's a dreadful day. But we're not talking about them, we're talking about us. But in John chapter 5, 28 and 29, who's going to be raised from the grave? Say again? All. Everybody. Now, when we consider that and think about the teachings of Jesus, that ought to give us great consolation, great encouragement that everybody's going to be raised up, every single person. And with that being said, Jesus Christ is going to judge all people. He's going to use the Word of God to do that. But there's going to be two destinations that we see. Two destinations. Brother Chad, what were they? You read those passages.
One to eternal life, the other one to eternal condemnation.
All right. One to eternal life. The other one to eternal condemnation. What is the Lord teaching us? What is the Lord teaching us, Brian? I'm just going to call on people.
You're going to live eternally. You need to make up your mind where you're going
to
go.
All right. You're going to live eternally. You need to make up your mind where you're going to live. All right. So we have one, eternal life with God. Anytime you think about life, talk about being with God. Condemnation. Who are you going to live with? The devil and his angels. The devil and his angels. Now, there's something about this great day. There's other things are going to take place on this great day. All right, Kipton, you ready to read? All right, I want you to get 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Luke, give me Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And James Wood, get me Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I said we had a lot of reading today. All of these things are going to take place on this one day. It's going to be a grand day, okay? And God ensured that this was going to happen through one righteous act. Through one righteous act, he ensured the judgment day. And that is Acts 17, verse 31 and 32. The very fact that he raised Jesus from the grave, he ensured that there will be a resurrection and that there will be a judgment day. Okay, so we know that this is going to take place. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. Conscience. All right, great job. All right, now a few things taking place here on this great day. Paul says all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to give an answer to things that they have done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Okay, and so that puts a little bit of responsibility upon us, really a lot. What responsibility does it put upon us? Sir? The type of life we live. All right, let's be a little bit more detailed. All right, the actions that we perform inside of this human body. Okay, the human body is a vehicle that the soul, the mind is using in order to carry out things in life. All right, Luke, Revelation 20. Now, this is a great passage here. There's a lot going on in these passages. All of this is going to take place on this one day. Nothing else is going to happen after this, okay? And so this is, as it relates to things, let me not say it that way because then I'll contradict myself. There's a lot going on this day. Let me say it like that. Go ahead, Luke. All right, now, in verse number 11, notice what's going to happen on this great day, this judgment day, okay? First thing that's going to happen, we're going to see that the earth and the heavens are going to flee away from the face of God. What does that already tell us? Say again? He's not going to use the heavens and the earth no more. This is it. He's going to burn this thing up. Now, that's not part of this lesson, but I'm just telling you, that's the first thing that you see right there. All right? The heaven and the earth flee away. It's gone. When you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, it uses some language like whizzing away. Whee! Just like that. For real, that's in the Greek. It's whee! Just like that. Now think about that. Now, don't get... See, I'm getting tempted to go there. I better leave that alone. All right, but that's what's going to happen. What else is going to happen on this day?
Resurrection.
Sir? All right, but according to the text.
The dead will be raised.
All right, the dead's going to be raised. What else? Who? Who's going to be that dead?
Small and great.
All this is going to happen. That means that God is teaching us no one's getting away. No one. You're not going to be able to buy your way out. You're not going to be able to manipulate, talk your way out of this. No, everybody's going to stand. Small and great. Doesn't matter who it is. Okay? Doesn't matter where you live on the earth. Doesn't matter. Okay? Everybody's going to stand. So this is the picture that John is getting. All right? What else do we see? How about verse 13? What else do we see there? All right, so those who died at sea, they're not going to be raised out of that too. So here's the point. On this great day, some great things are going to take place. Well, what if you had a loved one that died in the Lord, but he died in the sea? Is God going to forget about him? Mm-mm. No, no, no. God's going to take care of him too. As long as they die faithful, they're going to be all right. All of these things is going to happen on this day. Jesus speaks about this day. But what else is going to take place? Verse 14. It's going to happen on this day, same day. Say again. What else? Death and Hades. The very thing that men are afraid of, death, God says, that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Hades, the realm of the dead, disembodied spirits, no longer needed. Why? He's going to raise them out of there. They're going to be inserted back into the bodies. The bodies are going to be changed. Passages that our dear brother brought out, no longer Hades needed, cast into the lake of fire. All of that on this day. On this day. And so this is the day that Jesus said, nobody knows this day nor hour. This is going to be the day that everybody's going to stand before Jesus Christ. The word of God is going to be right there with us. Books are going to be open. Another book is going to be open. What book is that? Book of Life. What's so good about that book? What's so good about that book? Yes. Yes, has God's word there. That's right. What else? Days we're going to be days we've been waiting for. Names of the saved. All of these things. Hold on. Is our name? Now, this is a question you need to ask and answer yourself. Is my name in the book of life? Because if it is on that day, that's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful day. That's the day we're all looking forward to. Many are desiring to have their names called out that day. It's going to be a great day. Okay. James, Matthew 25. This is a long reading, but it's beneficial. It's a long reading. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. Notice what's going to happen on this day.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
There's a lot going on here on this day. A lot going on, okay? What are some things that's going on this day? Raise your hand. What are some things we notice that's going to take place on this day? Yes. Okay. All right. Good. Anyone else? Yes. All right. How magnificent the Lord's going to be coming in. Good. Yes, ma'am. Okay, all nations are going to be standing before him. What else?
It'll be explained what it will be revealed what you've done as what was good and what was bad.
Okay.
So a revelation of when you did it unto the least of them, you did it unto me. So now people will know that this was something that they were that was designated by God as being good.
Okay. All right. What else? Yes. Separation from the faithful to the unfaithful, the righteous, the unrighteous, the sheep and the goat, these different illustrations being given. What else? Okay. What else? Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Anyone else? Yes.
I always like to think that that's a day where everybody is going to become a believer.
That's a great point. That's Philippians 2. Anyone else? Yes. There it is. There it is. There it is, right there. Right there. Two places prepared. The first one that's prepared is for who? For the righteous. The second place prepared, now look at the text. Who was that place prepared for? The devil and his angels. Question. Was that prepared for the souls of men? No. Gehenna, hellfire, was not prepared for us, which makes sense because God desires who to be saved? All, which means the potentiality for all men to be saved is there. So when the angels sinned against God, left their first domain, we see that in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, we see that in the book of Jude. Friends, think about this. It was for them, not for us. So every soul, every human soul that ends up in torment, in hell, will be there, and that's not where God wanted them to go. The only thing I can say to that is, wow. We don't want to occupy a place where we don't supposed to be. That's a good principle even now. Young people, don't be somewhere you don't supposed to be. And you'll never end up where you're not supposed to be. All right? So that's so powerful right there. So everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. Any comments? Yes.
When it's talking about separating the sheep and goats, that's the final thing, because if you look at the rich man's masters, there's no crossing over either way.
That's right. That's a great point. That's a great point. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They had no fear of death. They were told about it, but they didn't understand, nor did they have the understanding to have fear. Until they lost their habitation to the tree of life.
That's right.
And we get to this point where we are separated and there will be no more fear of death in heaven. The difference will be there will be no more Satan or tempter. We don't have to worry about temptation then.
That's right.
Explain that, but that's important.
That's right.
So I don't have to worry about falling again, failing.
Well, it's very comforting because, number one, everything that is evil will be in the lake of fire. And so that's why what we're doing now is so important. And we have to keep in mind what we're doing is preparing ourselves to live with God. All right. Yes, yes.
So even what you have repented for, would you be judged on that, or would you be?
No, because God is faithful and just to forgive. What we have repented of and confessed, God is faithful and just to forgive that. 1 John 1:9. Okay, good question. Yes. That's a great point. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, based upon what Anna said, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you've shown toward his name. And so God doesn't forget what the things that we do that are good. God is marking it down, marking it down, marking it down. We're laying treasures up in heaven. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. All right. Good. Real good. Let's get back to some words of Jesus. And on that day, this great day, this judgment day, Jose, get Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Little Braswell. Jaden, get 2 Peter chapter 2. And get verse number 9 and 10. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Let me have Jerry. 2 Peter 3:7. All right, so on this great day, all this is going to happen on this day, you're going to have some that's going to try to plead their case. You know, people are doing that even today. Sometimes we do it. Sometimes our kids do it. Be like, but. No. Let's find out. I'm trying to plead your case. You know, bring out them mouth skills on the Lord. You know, trying to, maybe I can say something that's going to get the Lord to try to change his mind a little bit. Well, let's see. Jose.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Now notice, in that day, okay? And so it's not going to happen before that day. It's not going to happen after that day. It's going to happen in that day. But they're going to try to talk to the Lord. Lord, didn't I do this, do that? Didn't I do this? I'm going to try to talk the Lord into something. And he's going to tell them what? Mm-mm. No, that's not going to work. And also, well, y'all tell me, what does that teach us? What is the Lord teaching us? Yes. Speak up, baby.
Sorry, you only have until you die.
All right, you only have till you die to make things right. Okay, anyone else? Yes.
There's a lot of people, I believe, that call on the name of the Lord and they think that's all they need to do is call on Christ. And if you notice in that passage, they said, Lord, Lord, they had been calling on the name of the Lord. They thought they were right with God. Jesus said, I never knew you.
Never knew you.
Because they were not right with God because they never knew his will.
That's right. Good, good. Maya and Mark. All right, can't fool God like you think you could fool men. All right.
Say your life contract is finalized once you die. It's non-negotiable.
All right, life contract is finalized, non-negotiable. No negotiation. That's it. So that means that one time there was this brother who was asking the Lord to have mercy on a person that died outside of Christ. There's no mercy after death if you die outside of Christ. The mercy is in Christ while alive. Once a person dies, that's it. Hebrews 9, verse number 27, it's pointed on a man wants to die after death, what? The next phase is the judgment. All right, Jaden.
The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries.
All right. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Jerry. Oh, 2 Peter 3 verse 7. Now, notice what's happening on the day of judgment. A lot's taking place on the day of judgment. You would think this is going to be a busy day that day. It's going to be a busy day, but it's going to really be real quick. It's going to be very quick. And so on that day of judgment, this great earth that we enjoy, and there's some people not enjoying the earth right now, looking at some of the fighting that's going on in Israel and Gaza. And they're not enjoying life. The earth isn't either. A lot of things being blown up. The earth being blown up too. Certain spots. It's not an enjoyable time. Anyway, there's going to be a day that all of this is going to be gone. It's going to be... So we stop and we consider all of this is going to happen on that day. On that day. It's going to take place on that day. It's a lot taking place on that day. In Matthew chapter 13... we notice that the angels are going to be working that day too. You know, angels work every day. How do we prove that? Ma'am?
Word of God tells us that.
Where?
The angels will be, it's not like they come down as the Holy Spirit. It's not like they come down as angels and they appear.
In Luke chapter 16, remember, at the death of Lazarus, what did an angel come do? Came and got what? Came and got the soul of Lazarus and took him to Abraham's bosom. But the angels are going to be doing some work on that last day. Okay? In Matthew chapter 13... verses 30 and 39 through 43. I'm going to read this for us. This is dealing with the parable of the wheat and tares. In verse number 30, don't have time to read all of the wheat and tares. You go back and you can read that. There was the servants at this particular time. They wanted to do some separating, and the Lord said no. He said, let both grow together until the harvest, and at that time of the harvest, I will. Now notice this. He says, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Now, y'all pay attention. Look at this, verse 39 to 43. Here we see Jesus explaining the parable of the tares and the wheat. All right. Victor, do you want to read verse 39 through 43? Matthew 13, 39 to 43.
The enemy who sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and all those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the Son of the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
You see what the angels are going to do? What are the angels going to do on that day? They're going to be taking out the trash. In other words, they're going to be reaping. They're going to be working that day. There's a lot going on this day. Jesus speaks of this day. And so when we consider this day, it's a day that, again, us as Christians, faithful, it's a great day for us. It really is. We're looking forward to that day. But to the unfaithful, to the one that doesn't know the Lord, it's not going to be a great day. And so we want to keep that in mind, that the angels are going to be working that day. Put in your notes Romans 2, 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Matter of fact, let's read 1 Timothy 5, 24. 1 Timothy 5, 24. Kipton, let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Notice what's going to happen on this day. Brother Paul, you want to read? Get a Matthew 10:28. Matthew 10:28. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Notice what's going to happen on this day. Okay? Notice what's going to happen on this day. And this ought to really help us in evangelism, or to help us in our own personal lives, to get things right in our minds every day. 2 Corinthians 13:5, every day. Secret sins, we sung that song this morning. Every day we want to deal with things, every day, every day. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, what does that say, Captain? All right, so some men says Brother Brian is going to meet them on the day of judgment. They might not ever pay for them here, Raphael. They might not ever pay for sin here. But it's going to catch them on that day. Now, when I read that verse, I say, yikes. That's why it's so important to confess fault. That's why it's so important to examine yourself, even as Christians. Because he said, some men's sins go on unto the judgment. Some men's sins come after the fact. There's some people that have done some things and really they probably think they've gotten away with it. No, we don't get away with nothing. And as a child of God, really, we're not even trying to get away with anything. We're trying to confess. We're trying to be like David. All right. Brother Paul, give me Matthew 10, verse 28. I haven't called on Raphael. You want to read? Your son, maybe? Okay, let them read. Or whoever. Matthew 25:21. And let me get Scott, 1 John 4:17. Now, notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Brother Paul's going to read this. I want us to take notice of the language here. It's very important that we take notice of this language, okay? Go ahead, brother.
And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body.
All right, so on that day, we understand that a bunch of things are going to take place, but God is going to do some things on that day, all right? So often, men are afraid of men, but notice, Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, kill, but cannot, notice what he says, kill the soul, same word, all right? So a person can take the life of another person from the bodily perspective, but they cannot kill the soul. That's internal. That's spiritual. That's made in the image of God. But then you got the other image, Genesis 5:3, that is made in the image of man. And so that part of man, the spirit can leave that part. Don't want to get too deep into that. James 2:26. But the soul, that's all God. That's God's doing right there. All right. But notice the latter part of this verse here. But rather fear or reverence him who is able to destroy. That's a different word than kill. And this is where some of the, now watch this. Now this is for those of us who want to think a little bit deeper here. Go shallow, now I'm going to go a little deeper right here. These are for the ones that believe in annihilation. Well, that one word right there actually destroys the doctrine of annihilation, which means that when a person dies, and then they go to judgment, and then God condemns them in their because of their lifestyle. And then after they have received their stripes, and after they have fulfilled that, then they no longer exist. That's false. That's no condemnation at all. As a matter of fact, if I'm just going to receive stripes, and then I'm not going to exist no longer, then hell really is nothing to be afraid of. being separated from God, nothing to be afraid of. But no, fear him who can destroy. Now that word destroy, now you can write this down. To render useless, it's a metaphor. To devote or give over to eternal misery in hell. All right? To render useless, a metaphor. To devote or give over to eternal misery in hell. And so the Bible, Jesus, these are Jesus's words. This is what's going to take place on the day of judgment. You're going to have those individuals cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to be there throughout eternity. That's condemnation. Brother Brian, does that sound sound? That's sound. And it's scary, especially for the ones that's not faithful, for the ones that's outside of the Lord's church. Jesus speaks about hell. All right. Any comments before I go any further? Yes. Yes. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. And the Lord Jesus shall be... Yes. That's right. That's right. They're coming with him. And they're coming. They're coming. And when Jesus comes, they're coming with him. And
thing about that passage, Ginger points out, it sounds so, that's an encouragement passage.
It is.
In Thessalonians, Paul was writing that to encourage, and you've got this to look forward to.
That's right.
Don't worry about those that are causing so much trouble.
That's right. Brethren, it's going to be a great day for us. It really is. Yes, sir. That's right. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? That's true. That's true. Matthew 25:21. Who did I give that to? Is that you, Raphael?
Yeah.
We have a little time. Let me give you a few more passages. Go to verse 21 through 23. The reason why I say that this is going to be a great day, because there's something that's going to be said to the faithful on this day. Something's going to be said. And so we don't have to worry about anything after this day. Okay? Go ahead, Brother Raphael.
His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. For you are faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the
Lord." All right, stop real quick. You hear what the Lord said? Enter where? Now, enter the joys of thy Lord. When I was studying this, I was thinking, maybe I need to do a deeper study on joy. Because I'm like, hold on, something, there's a connection here that maybe I'm missing even myself. And no wonder Paul speaks about joy 16 times in the book of Philippians. Maybe I need to look into that a little deeper. All right, keep reading.
He also had received 2 talents, came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant.
So here you have the 5-talent man, the 2-talent man, and both of them, they labored, they worked, they gained for their Lord, and the Lord said unto them, "Well done. Enter to the joys of thy Lord." That's what's going to take place on that day. And so what happened to the one who had 1 talent? What will he hear? "You worker of iniquity." He was lazy. You didn't do what you needed to do. All right. And so in 1 John 4 and verse 17, did I give that to you, Scott? All right, go ahead. Now, I want you to listen to the language here, because on this great day, we can actually have something in our possession. All right? Go ahead, brother. What does that say?
Love has been perfected among us in His, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in His world.
What will we have in the day of judgment? Boldness. Chad, did you get that? Boldness in the day of judgment? I can actually stand before God with confidence, knowing that He's going to say, well done. No arrogance about it. I did what You wanted me to do. And I know, based upon Your promises and Your word, You're going to say, well done to me. Wow. Friends, we don't have to be guessing. We don't have to be thinking. We don't have to be wishing. As a matter of fact, we can know that we're saved. All this is going to happen on that day. It's going to be a great day for us. Yes. 17. 1 John 4, 17. Last verse, Matthew 12, verse 36. This is the last verse here. And I made this last on purpose in hopes that it will make an impact on us this week. Because keep in mind that the Word of God is going to judge us. Keep in mind that we're living our lives based upon the Word of God. We're going to hear words from God on that day. So it behooves us to make sure that our words are right. All right? And so, Larry, read Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, and we'll end with these passages. Matter of fact, throw in verse 35 and 36. Matthew 12.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every kind of word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment.
Every idle word, every useless word. There's something about useless words. I learned a word this week. It's logorrhea. Anybody know what that is?
Say it again.
Logorrhea. Logorrhea. Say again. A spew of words. What is it? Anybody else? Diarrhea of the mouth. Just sitting there just talking. They ain't saying nothing. We got to watch our words. We ought to make sure that when we choose our words, we choose them wisely. Don't have diarrhea of the mouth. Yeah, it's supposed to be like that. So idle words, think about that. Idle words. They're going to meet us in the day of judgment. No, let's choose our words wisely. And let's keep in mind that the day of judgment is actually going to be a great day for us. We ought to be looking forward to that day, and God is going to bless us that day, and we're going to be with God throughout eternity. Any final comments? Any final thoughts?